frolicking on the beach with another woman. When they were both stripped down to just suits and skin, I watched in what seemed like slow motion as Chloe took the hand of each of her parents, and the three of them ran for the surf hand in hand. A modern-day Norman Rockwell featuring Barbie and Ken. The visual made my chest have a crushing sensation. Avery walked up close behind me, watching over my shoulder. What a happy family they could be. Look at the smile on Graham's face. Graham was smiling. He was laughing and splashing in the water with both Chloe and Genevieve. He truly looked content. Avery sipped her coffee. Homewrecker. I slid the glass door open and stepped outside. When I turned around to slide the door closed, Avery was smiling victoriously. She didn't budge when I slammed it closed in front of her face. On the ride home, Graham held my hand as he drove. How are you feeling? Better? Thank you for coming with me. I know it wasn't easy for you. I'm glad you got to spend time with your daughter. She's an amazing little girl. Graham lit up. She is, isn't she? Have you and Genevieve spoken about your plans to tell her that you're her father? Genevieve thinks it's best not to say anything quite so soon. She thinks we should continue to spend time together so that when we finally do tell her, she's already comfortable with me. She suggested I come for dinner again this week. Of course she did. That's probably a good idea. Our conversation had never been so stilted. I was pretty sure we both felt it, yet neither one of us knew how to fix it. Although Graham kept trying.
So, what did you think of the Hamptons?
You want me to be honest?
Of course.
I think the landscape is beautiful. The oceans, the homes, all the boats down at the marina. But it's not someplace I could ever imagine myself wanting to spend my summers. The people just seem so homogeneous.
That's a good way to put it. It's never been my favorite place either. Actually, it's very different in the off-season. I always preferred to come out in October or November.
There's still a lot of farmers and fishermen who live out there. The town is very different when it's just locals. If it's not your favorite place, why would you buy that house?
Genevieve wanted it. And if we're being honest, at the time, the status symbol of having a home in the Hamptons seemed important.
It doesn't anymore? Graham squeezed my hand.
My priorities have changed.
If you were to buy a summer home now, where would it be? He responded immediately.
Brooklyn.
I chuckled. You'd summer in Brooklyn?
I'd summer inside of you. It doesn't matter where I am anymore.
Chapter 26. Soraya. Wednesday night, Graham had dinner at Genevieve's with Chloe. I found it difficult to sit home and keep my mind off of picturing what the three of them looked like together at the dining room table, sharing a meal. So, rather than go straight home, I stopped by Tig and Delia's tattoo shop, and we pigged out on sushi and sake. By 9:30, when it was time to close up, I was sufficiently full and buzzed enough that I was finally ready to go home. Stripping out of my work clothes, I plugged in my phone and slipped into bed. Just as I closed my eyes, the bell sounded. Since he hadn't texted all evening, I had a feeling Graham might stop by. I went to the door and pressed the button to buzz him in, then slipped the latch from the top lock open and waited to hear footsteps at the door. I opened it, smiling, just as his knuckles lightly rapped on the door. Seeing the man on the other side made my smile immediately fall.
Dad? What are you doing here?
He took off his hat and crossed it over his chest.
Can I come in?
Sure.
This morning, I'd asked God for a sign as to how I should handle my relationship with Graham. It made me wonder if he sent Frank Venidetta as some sort of twisted messenger. I walked over to the kitchen cabinet. Can I get you something to drink? On edge, I accidentally let the wooden door slam shut after I got myself a glass. My father took a seat at the table.
Water will be fine.
The smell of old spice filling my kitchen brought me straight back to my childhood. I think I'm going to need something stronger, I said, opening a bottle of Merlot.
Okay, then. In that case, I'll have what you're having.
Wine it is. I poured two glasses and handed one to him. He smiled.
This is nice. Never thought I'd be enjoying a glass of vino with my daughter tonight.
I cut to the chase. What brings you here, Dad? He took a sip, then let out a long, slow breath. His expression turned serious.
I've been thinking about coming to see you for a while, but kept putting it off because I didn't want to upset you.
So, why tonight?
It just felt like it was time.
Say what you came to say.
The day you visited me, you asked me a direct question that I didn't really know how to answer. You wanted to know whether I would have stayed with your mother had Teresa not loved me back, or if perhaps I'd never met her. I wasn't prepared for that question at the time.
You figured out the answer?
I've thought about it a lot these past several days. The bottom line is, if Teresa hadn't come along, I do believe there is a very good chance your mother and I would still be married today. It's hard for me to admit that, because I don't want you to blame Teresa for my actions and personal choices.
But you also told me that day that you don't regret the choices you've made, which means you don't regret hurting us. That's really hard to accept.
No, that's not what I meant. I love you and do regret hurting you, but I don't regret falling in love with Teresa.
How could you claim to have loved us when you left like you did? My father rested his head between his hands before saying,
It's not that simple. There are different kinds of love, Soraya.
The love for your children should come first. He closed his eyes as if my words stung, then paused before speaking again.
Sometimes life throws you a curveball, something you never saw coming. We have to make decisions about whether we want to be true to ourselves or honorable to those we love. If I'd never met Teresa, I probably would have been perfectly happy with your mother because I wouldn't have known the difference. But because I did meet her and developed a strong connection to her, I knew what I'd be missing if I let that go. There was no going back.
And what exactly did Teresa have that Ma didn't? Was it purely sexual?
Not at all. It's hard to explain. It's just a level of chemistry, Soraya. A kind of magnetic attraction between two people that I hadn't felt with your mother or with anyone before. I could have ignored it. I chose not to. It was selfish, I'm not denying that.
But you don't regret it.
There isn't a single yes or no answer to that question. I regret that you and your sister were hurt by my actions, but I don't regret following my heart. There would have been regret either way. I chose the selfish route, the one that hurt you the most, and for that, I'm sorry.
I don't know that I could do the same thing if I were in your shoes.
Then you're a better person than me, sweetheart.
You just told me that you would still be with my mother today if you hadn't made a selfish choice. Your children would have avoided years of self-doubt. As an example, I wouldn't have the trust issues I have with men today. My mother wouldn't have been nearly hospitalized for depression. You might not have been the most satisfied if you'd stayed, but your family would have been better off. Tears were starting to saturate my eyes. So basically, we suffered the consequences of your actions.
And for that, I'm truly sorry, Soraya. That's what I really came here to say more than anything.
I just kept nodding silently, trying to process it all. I don't know that I'm ready to accept your apology, but I do appreciate it and am glad you came by. I've learned a lot from this conversation. I've needed guidance lately.
Does this have to do with that wealthy man you're seeing? He gave me quite the dirty look the day he picked you up from my street. He must really care for you. We apparently have a lot in common, because whether you know it or not, I do love you very much.
You know what? You and Graham do have a lot in common. More than you probably realize. I sniffled. He's you, and I'm Teresa now. Chloe is who I once was. Before leaving to head home, my father stayed for a second glass of wine. I also put out some that I'd picked up during a trip that Graham and I took to Little Italy. Things were by no means fixed between Dad and me, but we agreed to keep in touch. At least one relationship with a man in my life was heading in the right direction. Unfortunately, Dad's visit only left me more tormented about Graham. The signs were everywhere that night. Graham had called me to say that Chloe had a high fever and bad ear infection. She apparently couldn't sleep and asked him to stay and read to her to take her mind off of it. I told him to take care of his little girl and that we would get together tomorrow. In the meantime, I happened to go online and noticed that Ida had submitted her responses that were to be published in tomorrow's paper. One of them was the answer to my email. Before reading it, I took my wine glass out of the sink and poured the remainder of the bottle. I took a deep breath to prepare myself. Dear Teresa, as much as you appear to be enamored with this man, I think you already know the right answer to your dilemma. All bets are off when there is a child involved. While you indicate that his ex was the cause for the demise of their relationship, she has apparently come to the conclusion that she made a mistake, one that she wants to rectify for the sake of their child. The fact that the choice to end their relationship wasn't directly his, but only a result of her straying, leads me to believe that he could still harbor feelings for her. You indicated that they are quite compatible, which is even more troubling. It sounds to me like this could turn into a messy situation for you as time passes. You also mentioned that you don't want to hurt him. Perhaps if he felt that you wronged him in some way, he would be more likely to get over you quickly. You could, for example, give him the impression that there is someone else in the picture. Do the right thing, and find a man without baggage. Give this one back to his family. When it comes to getting involved with men who have children, I have a motto. Smart over heart. My stomach was in knots. While Ida just helped solidify the conclusion I was starting to draw on my own, it was still hard to absorb the harshness of that reply. I knew that walking away was the right thing to do, but how do you walk away from the best thing that ever happened to you? She had a point, too. There was no way Graham would let me go easily unless he thought I'd betrayed him. Cheating was the one thing he would never tolerate. The thought of deceiving him like that was so painful that it made my skin crawl. I honestly couldn't see another solution, though. There was certainly no way I could look him in the eyes and tell him I didn't love him. I had to get him to break up with me out of anger, and there was only one way to do that. Was I insane for considering pretending to cheat just so he'd leave me? Or was it an honorable and selfless move for the sake of a child's well-being? I almost couldn't believe what I was pondering. After tossing and turning the entire night, I came to a decision and devised a reluctant game plan. Tomorrow, I would give myself one last night with him, enjoy him, let myself love him one last time. Then, I would begin the process of distancing myself until I could figure out how to make it appear that there was someone else. I reminded myself that while I couldn't go back and change my own childhood, I had the power to change Chloe's. This was going to hurt like hell. I couldn't do it alone. There was only one person I knew who wouldn't try to talk me out of it. I picked up my phone and sent a text to Tig. I need your help.
Chapter 27. Graham. This parenting thing wasn't for sissies. Even though Chloe didn't know I was really her father, I treated her no differently than if she did. I made sure she got to see me almost every day, and made her a top priority. Last night was particularly rough, because I'd never dealt with a sick child before. Genevieve thought it would be a good idea if I took the lead in caring for Chloe. If my daughter was going to be spending time at my place eventually, I needed to know how to take care of her in sickness and in health. Chloe mainly just wanted me to hold her and read to her. The poor thing had pus coming out of her ears and was burning up. I felt helpless because there was nothing I could do to really make her feel better, aside from just being there. She was growing more attached to me every day. It proved that despite the distance between us over the years, there was such a thing as an innate connection between a father and child. Thank God Soraya was being so understanding about all of it. I missed her like crazy. I was starting to have serious withdrawals. As much as I loved spending time with my daughter, I needed to see my girlfriend tonight. I needed to feel her pussy wrapped around my cock. I needed to fist a handful of that sexy raven hair. I needed to hear that sound she made when she came with me inside of her. Shit. I needed to tell her once and for all how much I loved her. Luck was on my side, because Chloe was feeling a bit better. The antibiotics were starting to kick in. After having an early dinner with her, I headed straight to Soraya's. I was going to have the car pick her up and take her to my place, but she said she preferred I come to her. I joked that I'd be happy to come anywhere she wanted tonight. When she opened the door, I immediately buried my face in her neck, breathing in her vanilla perfume. That smell practically got me high. "Fuck, I've missed you," I said against her skin. "How did you get even more gorgeous?" It was a relief to see that the tips of her hair were still blue. A tight, matching royal blue dress hugged her heaving chest. As much as I wanted to rip that dress down and suck on her nipples hard, I'd equally just really missed her smile, her laugh, her snarky attitude. Even though we hadn't been apart for very long, being immersed in fatherhood felt like I'd been a world away from the other important part of my life. I loved my daughter, but my home was with Soraya. Lowering my hand down her back, I asked, "You hungry?" "No. You mentioned you had dinner with Chloe, so I just grazed on stuff." It seemed like something was bothering her. "Something on your mind?" She hesitated. "No." "What did you want to do tonight? We could go get a drink, see a movie, whatever you want." "Can we just stay here?" "You know I'll never complain about getting you all to myself." "How's Chloe doing tonight?" "She's much better. The doctor put her on penicillin, and the ear pain's gone down significantly." "I'm so glad to hear that." My eyes wandered over to the sink. I noticed that there were two dirty wine glasses. A rush of adrenaline hit me. Two glasses? Who the fuck was here? "Did you have company?" Her face turned flush. Actually my father came by." While relieved for the explanation, it bothered me that she hadn't told me. "Really?" "Yeah, he showed up here unannounced last night." My heart sank, because I knew under normal circumstances she would have come to me about this. Seeing him couldn't have been easy for her. Even though I knew the answer, I asked her anyway. "Why didn't you say anything to me about this?" "You were with Chloe. I didn't want to bother you. Anyway, it was fine. We just talked. It wasn't as bad as I imagined it might be to see him after the way I left his house that day."
"What did he say to you?"
"You know what? I don't want to waste this night rehashing all of that. My father and I were actually fine. It was an okay visit."
"You sure you don't want to talk about it?"
"I'm positive."
"Okay." I pulled her into me and planted my forehead on hers. "You know what I was thinking? Maybe we should go to Italy for our vacation. I want to kiss the ground of the land that brought me you. I've never been there. We could visit the Amalfi Coast. What do you think? I'm sure Italy is beautiful. You didn't answer my question. I pulled back to examine her face. You don't seem as excited as I thought you'd be. We don't have to go there. We can go somewhere else. She placed both of her hands around my face and said, You're amazing. I'd be lucky to go anywhere with you. Yet she wasn't smiling when she said it. What the fuck? Are you all right? You seem down. Are you sure your father didn't upset you? I'm okay. I don't believe you. She stayed silent, and it was starting to seriously alarm me. I brushed the back of my hand along her cheek. You know you can tell me anything, right? I know that the stuff with Genevieve and Chloe hasn't been easy for you. I need you to talk to me when things are bothering you, not keep them inside. There's nothing we can't work through as long as you don't keep things from me. There's nothing to talk about. My mood is just off tonight. Can we just go lie down? I examined her face before responding. Sure. Despite her explanation, an ominous cloud seemed to follow us as we headed into her bedroom. I whipped my tie off. As I unbuttoned my shirt, Soraya was just sitting on the bed, watching me. I loved the fact that she was so enthralled with my undressing, but to be honest, it was a little odd and uncharacteristic for her to just be staring at me like that. She was definitely not acting herself tonight. Throwing my shirt on the chair, I said, You don't want to talk. Then I'm gonna have to find another way to make you feel better. She stood up and walked over to me, then slowly traced her index finger around the tattoo of her name over my heart. The fact that you did this means so much to me. I don't think I ever really expressed that enough. You mean so much to me. You brought me back to life, Soraya. This was the least I could do to express how I feel. It represents how you're always with me, even when we can't physically be together because of work or Chloe. Ultimately, knowing you're there for me and that you have my back is what's getting me through. She continued to stare at my ink when she asked, Will you make love to me? Was there ever a question about whether that would be happening right now? No, but I want to take it slow tonight. Savor it. I can do slow. Sex couldn't solve everything, but I was sure as hell going to try to fuck her out of this funk she was in. I was going to show her with my body exactly how much I loved her, that there was nothing we couldn't get through as long as we stuck together both literally and figuratively. She reached up and started to kiss me passionately, in a way that almost felt desperate. As we collapsed onto the bed, her grip around my neck was tight as she pulled me to her, spreading her legs open wide. Please, she begged. Seeing her bare and spread eagle like that, I immediately had to remind myself of her request to take it slow, because in that moment, I just wanted to ravage her pussy. As I entered her, she let out the most beautiful gasp into my ear. Moving in and out with a slow and hard intensity, I realized that there was definitely a difference between pure, unbridled fucking and making mad, passionate love. You had to be truly in love with someone to achieve the latter. And I was definitely in love with Soraya in a way that I had never been with anyone before. It was time to let her know. As I sunk into her, trying not to crush her with the weight of my eager body, I whispered into her ear, I love you so much, Soraya. Withdrawing and thrusting all the way into her again, I repeated, I love you. She responded simply by grasping onto me tighter, bucking her hips and guiding my body. I wanted so badly for her to return those three words back to me. Instead, she remained silent until I felt wetness on my shoulders. She was crying. Baby, what's wrong? My heart was beating faster. Had I been delusional in thinking that she was handling everything okay? Was it all unraveling? When I slowed my movements, she muttered, Don't stop, Graham. Please don't stop. Frustrated, I picked up the pace, fucking her harder than I meant to. She screamed out in pleasure as her muscles pulsated around my cock. I came so hard, emptying inside of her. Our chests rose and fell as we panted on top of one another. She looked into my eyes for the longest time and seemed to be struggling with her words. What she finally said nearly undid me. "Your name may not be tattooed over my heart, but it will always be etched into my soul. I've spent over 2 decades thinking I was incapable of being loved. Thank you for proving me wrong. You've changed my life." Even though it didn't contain the 3 words I hoped to hear, in many ways, it meant even more. We made love 3 more times that night, each time more intense than the last. While Soraya finally fell asleep in my arms, a foreboding feeling kept me awake. Over the next week, it started to become clear that I'd had good reason to be worried. Soraya gave me a different story every night as to why she couldn't see me. Her sister needed help moving. Her mother wanted to go shopping. She had plans with Tig and Delia. Dread multiplied each day as I thought back to our last encounter, which, while sensual and passionate, had elements of bizarre behavior on Soraya's part. As much as her words about my changing her life touched me, I couldn't help obsessing over the fact that not once had she used the word love. With each passing hour, the omission seemed to have growing significance. Maybe she didn't love me. Either way, something was wrong, and I needed to get to the bottom of it. I tried hard to give her the space she apparently wanted. I focused on Chloe to take my mind off of the fact that Soraya was distancing herself from me. By week's end, though, she'd left me with no choice but to wait in front of her apartment until she showed up. Supposedly, she was with Tig and Delia again. But that sure as fuck was not who she came strolling down the street with hand in hand at 9 o'clock at night.
Chapter 28 Soraya. It all happened so fast. Marco and I had just left Tig's shop. Since Graham and I hadn't seen each other in a few days, I had a suspicion that he might show up unannounced one night this week. I just had no idea which night it would be. Our plan for tonight was the same as last night. We'd sit around, watch movies, and wait to see if Graham surprised me with a visit. If he did, I would let Graham see Marco inside my apartment and tell him that I was sorry I'd met someone and that I didn't mean to hurt him. It wouldn't be that hard to believe. Sitting next to Marco on the subway, even I had to admit that we looked more like a couple than Graham and I ever did. With his olive skin, spiked dark hair, Italian horn around his neck, and bulging biceps, he was more like Pauly D from Jersey Shore than a man who commanded a boardroom. In all honesty, before Graham, he was my type. Although, not Marco specifically. We'd known each other way too long for that. Marco was Tig's cousin. We'd all been friends since we were kids. Even though I hadn't seen him in a few years, I knew he would do me the favor of pretending to be my boyfriend. When Tig called him down to the shop on Monday, he'd agreed to do it even before I'd explained the circumstances.
"You okay, Dollface?"
Marco squeezed my knee. "Just nervous."
"You want to go over what you want me to say if he shows again?"
"No." I forced a smile. "We have the plan down." So I thought. But what I didn't plan for was Graham standing outside of my building before I even got there. He was leaning against his car, looking down, texting on his phone. Luckily, I saw him before he saw me. Jumping into panic mode, knowing what was about to happen, I quickly grabbed Marco's hand. When Graham looked up and saw me, I actually watched the moment I broke his heart play out on his face. Even from halfway down the block, his eyes lit up for a split second when he caught sight of me. That light was quickly extinguished when he saw the tall, dark, tatted hipster I was holding hands with. My heart was completely eviscerated seeing the hurt in his eyes. I'd practiced the things I would say to him over and over 1,000 times, yet when he stormed to us on the street, I was unable to speak.
"Soraya? What the fuck?"
I stared down at the sidewalk, unable to look Graham in the eyes. Marco figured out what was going on and jumped in to ad-lib.
You must be Grant. Soraya told me there was a possibility you could show up before she had a chance to talk to you.
Talk to me about what? Soraya? What the fuck is going on?
Graham was practically screaming at this point.
Dude, calm down. She was going to tell you. We just talked about it last night at dinner.
At dinner? Last night? Soraya, answer me. What the hell is going on?
When I didn't respond and still didn't look at him, Graham reached for me. Playing the part of a protective boyfriend came naturally to Marco. He stepped partially in front of me and got in Graham's face.
Dude, I'm only going to warn you once. Keep your hands to yourself and don't touch my girl. I don't want to have to kick your pretty boy ass out here on the street.
Your girl?
Everything happened so quickly after that. Graham took a step back, then began to turn away, only to rear back and throw all of his weight behind a punch that slammed into Marco's jaw. A loud cracking sound made acid rise up my throat, and for a second I thought I was going to vomit right there on the street. I wasn't immediately sure if the sound was Marco's jaw or Graham's hand breaking. My heartbeat was pulsing so loudly in my ears. For all I knew, it could have been the sound of my own heart shattering. Marco staggered back a few steps, his hand going to his jaw in an attempt to ease the pain. But I'd grown up watching Tig and Marco brawl, and I knew a little thing like a broken jaw was not going to end this fight. Before I could get between them, Marco lunged at Graham. The two men collided, and Marco slammed Graham up against a parked car.
Stop!
I'd finally managed to speak.
Please stop! Marco, no!
Graham somehow managed to toss Marco aside, and then he was standing in front of me, his chest heaving up and down, knuckles split and bleeding. Without thinking, I reached out for his injured hand. Graham! He pulled away from my touch as if it were fire.
Say it, Soraya.
I looked down.
Say it. Tell me you're a fucking cheater and I'm a goddamn idiot, because even though I'm seeing it right in front of my eyes, I still don't want to believe it.
Tears rolled down my face. I couldn't look at him. When he spoke again, his voice was low and pained. He sounded broken.
Look at me, Soraya. Look at me.
I finally mustered the courage to raise my head. Staring into his eyes, tears streaming down my face, I told him the absolute truth. I'm so sorry, Graham. His eyes closed for a moment before he turned, got into his car, and drove away without another word. I watched, sobbing, until I could no longer see a trace of his car. What had I just done?
Don't be such a pussy.
Tig's hands were cupping his cousin's face. He had showed up with Del 15 minutes after Marco and I came inside my apartment. I hadn't even realized Marco had called them. I really think that should be done in the emergency room. It was the second time I'd voiced my opinion that Marco's obviously dislocated jaw should be reset in the hospital.
It's fine. I've done it before. 3 times when he was doing that stupid kickboxing shit.
He handed Marco the bottle of Jack he had brought with him.
One more swig. Make it a good one.
Poor Marco gulped from the bottle, then stood in front of his cousin with his eyes closed.
Ready. On three. One. Fuck!
Marco let out a blood-curdling scream, and I ran to the bathroom. This time, I really did vomit. When I came back, Tig chuckled.
I forgot what a girl you are.
You said on three and did it on one. You didn't give me a chance to run out of the room.
Of course I did it on one. Who the fuck actually does it on three when the person is tensed up and waiting for it?
How the hell would I know?
Get your lover boy a bag of peas, will you, babe?
I dug in the freezer, searching for a bag of something frozen, but I didn't even have any vegetables. I don't eat peas.
What else you got?
I pulled out a box of Choco Tacos. Ice cream in the shape of a taco. Tig pulled one from the box and handed it to his cousin.
That's perfect. A taco for the pussy who gets his jaw dislocated by a suit.
Marco winced, bringing the frozen ice cream to rest against his cheek.
Throws a good punch for a pretty boy.
I take it that things didn't go exactly as planned? Del had held me in her arms until I'd finally stopped sobbing. By then, Tig was playing doctor with his poor cousin.
Not at all.
We never even made it into my apartment. He saw us on the street, so I panicked and grabbed Marco's hand. That must have given him a good visual.
I blew out a deep breath.
It was awful. He was so hurt, Del. You knew he would be. You think he bought it?
I nodded my head, silent tears again streaming down my face.
He did. Honestly, I don't think there was any other way to do it. Even seeing me holding another man's hand and hearing Marco call me his girl, he still wanted confirmation. He believed in us so much, he didn't even want to accept it when it was right before his eyes. He's been that way since the day I met him. I never knew a man could be so unwavering in his love and support. It was the most beautiful part about him.
When my shoulders began to shake again, Del wrapped me back in her arms.
He's going to give that to his little girl. You wanted to do this for her. That part of him won't change. It just won't be you he's devoted to anymore.
Chapter 29 Graham. Rebecca? Was it so hard to find competent people these days? I smacked the intercom button down again, yelling louder. Rebecca! There was no way she couldn't hear me the last 10 minutes. The entire damn office had to have heard me, even though my office door was shut. With no response, I went in search of my secretary. Her desk was empty, and it looked like she wasn't in today, even though she was sitting there when I walked in only 3 hours ago. Grumbling to myself with a stack of papers, I headed to reception. Where is Rebecca? Who? My secretary? She's not at her desk again. Oh, you mean Eliza? Whatever, where is she? She quit this morning, Mr. Morgan. She what? She quit? Jesus Christ, it's impossible to find dependable staff anymore. I tossed the stack of papers I was holding onto the reception desk. I need 5 sets of these. A little while later, there was a knock at my door. What? The receptionist held the photocopies I'd asked for, along with a stack of newspapers. Where would you like the copies? I pointed with my finger without looking up from my work. On the credenza. You haven't been taking your newspapers out of your mail slot this week, so I brought them to you. I don't want them. A few minutes later, I still hadn't looked up, and I realized that the receptionist was still in my office. Sighing, I acknowledged her, not that I wanted to. But seeing as she was standing on the other side of my desk, staring at me, she left me little choice. What? Ava. My name is Ava. I know that. May I say something, Mr. Morgan? I tossed my pen on my desk. You've already interrupted me, so spit out whatever it is you'd like to say and get it over with. She nodded. I've worked here for 2 years now. Really? And? Do you know how many secretaries you've had in that time? I have no idea, but since you're wasting my time, I'm going to assume you're about to enlighten me. 42. In a city this size, it's pretty damn amazing how difficult it is to find good help. Do you know why they leave? I'm not sure I care. They leave because you're normally a tyrant to work for? My eyebrows jumped. Is that so, Ava? It is, Mr. Morgan. So why are you still here? You just said yourself that you've been here for 2 years. She shrugged. My dad used to be like you. Plus, we don't have that much interaction since I'm up at reception all day. Most days you whiz by me and don't even acknowledge my existence, which is fine with me. And your point to all this is, are you trying to end your 2-year streak of putting up with me? Because in about 10 seconds I think you will have succeeded. No, sir. The point I wanted to make is that, well, a few months ago you started to change. Eliza, your secretary, was here for almost 6 weeks, and she actually seemed to like her job. I stared at her but said nothing, forcing her to continue. Until a few days ago? When angry Mr. Morgan walked back in? I don't know what happened, but whatever it is, I'm sorry. And I hope we get Mr. Nice Morgan back again real soon. Nice Mr. Morgan? He was the asshole who got stepped on. Are you done yet, Ava? I am. I'm sorry if I upset you. I just wanted to say you seemed happy. And now you're not. I picked up my pen and proceeded to bury myself back in my work. Ava took the hint this time. Just as she was about to walk out, I asked, "What happened to your dad?" "Pardon?" "You said your dad used to be like me?" "Oh. He met my stepmother. Now he's different." "Leave the newspapers on the credenza and don't let the door hit you on the ass on your way out." I poured myself a drink and stared out my office window. It was dark already. For the last 3 days, I left the house before the sun rose and returned in the middle of the night. I was exhausted, and it had nothing to do with lack of sleep. The anger that I'd been carrying around was physically draining. Blood boiled in my veins. I was distraught, rejected, betrayed, filled with fury. Hurt squeezed the cold muscle that had replaced the warm heart inside my chest. A heart that had only just begun to thaw after meeting Soraya. I'd been betrayed before. Fuck, Genevieve and Liam were my best friend and fiancé. When shit went down with them, I'd lost two people who had been the biggest part of my life for years. Yet that loss felt nothing like this. No, there was no comparison. This was utter devastation, the type of loss you feel when you lose someone to death. I still couldn't get over what Soraya had done to me. What she'd done to us. Never would I have thought she was capable of being unfaithful. The woman I fell in love with was open and honest. It made me question if I had ever really known her at all. My phone vibrated in my pocket, and just as I did for the last 3 days, my hopes rose, longing to see Soraya's name flash on the screen. But of course it wasn't. She was gone. I gulped back the contents of my glass and answered. "Genevieve?" "Graham? What's going on? Where have you been?"
"I've been busy."
"Chloe is starting to ask questions. You've canceled on seeing her 2 nights in a row. She's very vulnerable right now after losing Liam and needs consistency."
"She needs you, Graham."
"Somehow she's already grown attached." I closed my eyes. The last thing I wanted to do was let Chloe down. I'd canceled because I didn't want her to see me this way, unhappy and angry. But I was a parent now. I needed to get my head out of my ass for the sake of my daughter. "I'm sorry. It won't happen again."
"What's going on with you?"
"Nothing that concerns you."
"Is something going on with that girlfriend of yours?"
I ignored her question. "How about if I come for breakfast in the morning and then take Chloe to school?"
"That would be good."
The phone went quiet for a minute.
"Chloe isn't the only one who misses you, Graham. I like having you around."
"I'll see you at 7 tomorrow, Genevieve." After I hung up, I set my empty glass on the credenza. The pile of newspapers that Ava had left were still there. The City Post, the paper that Ask Ida was printed in each day. I picked the top one up and stared at it. I'd intentionally avoided going anywhere near the paper, unable to trust myself not to scour the Ask Ida column for traces of Soraya's words. The last thing I needed was to read her giving advice to some poor schlep on the topic of love or cheating. No fucking way. I threw the paper back on the pile and decided to call it a day.
"Mommy said you liked bananas in your pancakes?" Chloe and I were sitting at the dining room table finishing our breakfast and strawberry milk. Genevieve had gone upstairs to get dressed for work. I do. And chocolate chips, too. My grandmother used to make banana chocolate chip pancakes for me all the time when I was your age. I leaned to my daughter and whispered, "You want to know a secret?" She nodded her head fast. "Sometimes she still makes them for me, and they're even better than your mom's." Chloe belly laughed. The sound was the best medicine in the world for me. Nothing could stop my face from smiling when I heard that. I'd kept away from my daughter to protect her from what I was feeling, worried my sour mood was contagious. Yet the reality was it was the other way around. It was Chloe's naturally happy-go-lucky disposition that was contagious. This little precious girl had lost a man she loved as her father only months ago. And yet here she was, smiling. If she could do it, I could too. My daughter was inspiring. I reached over and cupped her cheeks. "I've missed you, sweetheart."
"You didn't come see me for a few days."
"I know. I'm sorry. I was caught up in something. But that won't happen again."
"Can we go see your grandmother one day for breakfast?"
Not only was she inspiring, but she was also full of good ideas. She'd love that. I've told her all about you, and she can't wait to meet you.
"Can Soraya come too?"
My chest tightened at even the mention of her name. I could still actually visualize the four of us together. Myself and the three most important women in my life. My daughter, Mimi, and the woman I loved. It was raw to speak of, but I wouldn't lie to my daughter. "I'm sorry, Chloe. She won't be able to come with us. But maybe you and I could go together this weekend?" Genevieve picked that moment to walk back into the dining room.
"Are you mad at Soraya?"
My eyes caught briefly with Genevieve before I answered my daughter. "Sometimes things don't work out between adults and they stop seeing each other."
"Why didn't things work out with you and Soraya? I liked her."
I took a deep breath. "I liked her too." Glancing at my watch, I changed the subject. "You're going to be late if we don't get you going. I thought I would drop you at school today, if that's all right with you." Chloe ran to get her things while Genevieve and I cleared the last of the dishes from the dining room table.
"Will you join us for dinner tonight? I'm making another one of your favorites. Chicken Parmigiana."
I had assumed Genevieve was going to attempt to discuss what she'd just overheard about me and Soraya. I was relieved when she seemed to move on. Maybe Genevieve and I could do this co-parenting thing better than I anticipated. I'd like that. Thank you. Genevieve was all dressed up when I arrived, wearing a very form-fitting blue dress that showed off her figure. She was always a beautiful woman, but motherhood seemed to have added a little to her curves, making her more voluptuous. I handed her a bottle of her favorite Merlot I'd picked up on my way over. She'd been feeding me meals for the last few weeks. It was the least I could do not to show up empty-handed. "Are you going out tonight?"
"No, I wasn't planning on it. Why do you ask?"
"You look... nice." She smiled.
"Thank you."
"You're welcome."
"I need to stir the pasta. Why don't you come into the kitchen and open the wine for us?"
Genevieve pulled two crystal glasses from the cabinet, and I uncorked the bottle as she went to work at the stove. "Is Chloe upstairs?"
"She's actually not home yet. Her best friend Emily invited her over for a play date. Emily's mom called a little while ago to ask if she could stay for dinner. I hope you don't mind. Lately I've just had a difficult time saying no to anything she asks. After Liam moved out last year, she was really stuck to my side. Then after he passed, she didn't want to play with any of her friends. I found it encouraging that she wanted to have dinner with Emily, so I told her she could stay. I'm sure she'll be back by the time we're done."
I hated the thought of Chloe not wanting to play with her friends. When my own mother was sick, I had gone through a similar withdrawal. Looking back, I realized I was afraid to leave her. If I went somewhere, something might change or happen. Genevieve made sound choices for Chloe. "You're good at being a mother." She was surprised at my compliment.
"Thank you, Graham. That means a lot to me coming from you."
Over dinner we talked mostly about work. I'd forgotten how easy it was to speak to her. It had been years since we had any real conversation. After we finished our meal, I poured us both a second glass of wine.
"This is nice," Genevieve said. I nodded. "Can I ask you something personal?"
"Will it stop you if I say no?"
She smiled. "Probably not. What happened between you and Soraya?"
"I'd rather not talk about it."
"I understand."
There were so many unanswered questions in my head. Maybe it was finally time to get some answers. "Can I ask you a personal question?" Her eyebrows jumped.
"Anything."
"You sure about that?"
"Let me get us something stronger than wine first."
I finished my second glass of wine while Genevieve disappeared to the kitchen. She came back with two glasses of cognac.
"Why don't we go sit in the living room?"
Genevieve slipped off her high heels, then joined me on the couch. We were both quiet, sipping our drinks for a while. I stared at the floor when I finally spoke. "What made you turn to Liam?" It was a question I'd spent the better part of a year wondering about. The recent occurrences had obviously brought it to the forefront of my thoughts once again. She blew out an audible breath.
"I asked myself that same question a million times. The answer isn't so simple. I was selfish. I liked the attention that Liam gave me. You were so busy and wrapped up in growing your business that I think I felt a little neglected. That's not to say it's your fault, because it's not. I just wanted to be the center of your world. The reason that you liked getting out of bed each morning. Don't get me wrong, we were compatible on so many levels. We had our work, and the sex was nothing short of spectacular, ever. But I just never felt like I was the love of your life. Liam made me feel that way. The problem was, after we broke up and I was with Liam, I realized he wasn't the reason I got out of bed each morning. You were."
I glanced up at Genevieve for the first time. 4 years ago, I could never have understood what she was talking about. I had thought she was the love of my life. Until I met Soraya. I had to force myself to get out of bed these last few days, since she wasn't in my life anymore. I nodded. "Thank you for being honest with me."
"It's the least I could do."
I gulped back the remnants of my glass and stood. "I think I need another one. Would you like a refill?"
"No, thank you."
The next tall glass of alcohol left me feeling even more relaxed. Genevieve and I moved our conversation to lighter topics, and I settled into the couch comfortably waiting for my daughter.
"Graham?"
Her tone had changed, and she hesitated until I was looking her in the eyes.
"I'm sorry. I know I've said it before, but I want you to know that I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I hate that I hurt you, and I wish I could do it all over again and take back all of my selfish decisions."
"Thank you."
"I've matured since then. Having a child taught me a lot about myself. I don't need to be the center of anyone's universe anymore, because she's mine."
"I can see that." It wasn't until I stood to go to the bathroom an hour later that all of the alcohol really hit me. I'd had a drink in my office before I left, two glasses of wine over dinner, and it had to be four cognacs. Drunk was never a sensation I enjoyed. The feeling of not being in a clear state of mind was normally something that I despised. But tonight, it felt good. My shoulders were relaxed, and the anger that I'd been carrying around seemed to have lightened a bit as well. After I relieved myself, I went in search of another refill for my perpetually empty glass, and then stumbled my way back to the living room. Genevieve wasn't there, and it was quiet. I sucked down half my glass and shut my eyes, leaning my head back against the couch. I must have fallen asleep for a few minutes before Genevieve's voice woke me up.
"Chloe just called while I was upstairs getting changed and asked if she could sleep at Emily's. She was so excited, I just couldn't say no. I'm sorry. I hope you're not upset with me for not asking you first."
"As long as she's happy, I'm happy. It's late. I should get going anyway." I stood from the couch and wobbled a bit.
"Why don't I make you some coffee first? Then you can call your driver or a cab, rather than take the train."
"That's probably a good idea."
The couch was so comfy, I plopped myself right back down on it and closed my eyes. That was the last thing I remembered doing until Genevieve's voice woke me hours later in the middle of the night.
Graham?
Hmm?
You fell asleep.
Shit. I scrubbed my hands over my face. Sorry. I'll get going.
I was covered with a blanket and the room was dark, but the hall light illuminated the room enough to see Genevieve in front of me. She was wearing a long silk robe that was tied at the waist.
I'd much rather you stay, but...
She untied her robe and let it fall open. Hesitantly, her hands reached up, and she slipped the silky material from her shoulders. The robe puddled at her feet as she stood before me, fully naked.
I woke you hoping you'd come upstairs to bed instead of staying on the couch.
Chapter 30 Soraya. A bad dream had caused me to wake up in a sweat. While I couldn't remember it clearly, it involved Graham and Genevieve naked. It was so upsetting that I couldn't fall back asleep. The occasional car passing by provided small glimpses of light as I sat in my dark bedroom with that same dreadful feeling of doubt that had kept me up almost every night since the fiasco with Graham and Marco. Did I do the right thing? What if he didn't end up with Genevieve? What if it was all for nothing? Those kinds of thoughts would race through my mind. I also constantly wondered where he was and what he was doing. Namely, if he was doing her. He'd walked away from me so hurt. It wouldn't have surprised me one bit if Genevieve took full advantage of the situation the second she found out. His last words continued to haunt me. Look at me. My chest felt constricted. I was either the most selfless woman on earth or the stupidest. Regardless, the pain of losing Graham was simply not subsiding. I doubted that I would ever stop longing for him. But would it get even a little easier? So far, the passage of time hadn't helped. Whether he was drowning his sorrows in someone else or not, I knew that Graham was out there somewhere devastated. He'd really loved me. Somehow I was sure he still did, even if he was disappointed in me. Love built to last simply doesn't unravel that fast. I truly felt that ours would have stood the test of time had I not ended things. When the first glimmer of sunlight appeared through my window, I picked up my phone. Delia was always up at the ass crack of dawn. Constantly needing reassurance that I'd made the right decision, I called her the first opportunity I could. She picked up. Again, you didn't sleep? I know. Something has to give. I'm a mess. I haven't even had the energy to dye my tips red. Now that's how I know you're in trouble. Seriously, right? I'm still wearing the blue as if my entire world hadn't turned upside down. Listen, Rainbow Bright, I was just talking to Tig last night and he agrees that the two of us need to get away. You and Tig? I panicked. You can't leave me alone now. No, you and me. Like a girl's trip. You need to get out of the city. Everything here is a reminder of Graham. Where exactly would we go? Well, seeing as though you don't have a millionaire boyfriend anymore, we obviously have to think about cost. But anyway, I think I have the perfect solution for that. Okay. I told you my brother Abe works in Japanimation. He's over in Japan now, actually. Groggily, making my way to the kitchen to start some coffee, I yawned. You want to go to Japan? No! Abe owns a condo right near the ocean in California. Hermosa Beach. It's currently empty. We could stay there for free. I looked at tickets last night and they're reasonable. In the $300 range. What do you say? Anything would be better than staying here in this funk. I couldn't remember the last time I took any kind of vacation. The decision was an easy one. You know what? Let's do it. Let's go to California. Growing up in Brooklyn,